precious name of Jesus. I was blessed by the devotional meditation Brother Anthony shared. The power that God can work in our life. The power that God had in the young man. Thank God who served today. Same God that would see us through. What kind of teaching program did Daniel and his three friends must have? What kind of mom did he have? I wonder what Daniel's dad was like. It wasn't in my notes, but I just come up with that. Who were his parents that could train up a child that a youth could stand so strong that they were willing to walk through the fire? He didn't learn that on his own. There was a dad, there was a mom that was teaching them and preparing them for life. Do you think there was a mom that rocked little Daniel, 1 year old, and sang Daniel little songs at bedtime? And dad took Daniel on his knee and told him a story about Jehovah Goah, all the wonderful miracles that God had done for their people. Daniel looked up into his father's face. They had to. There was a teaching program. There was parents that cared. There was parents that cared about the little children. And tonight I didn't have a title called Making Our Faith Attractive to Our Children. I just really appreciate that devotional because it just set my mind thinking about our faith. There was a parents that had faith that taught their young children about him. And it made all the difference. Yes, Daniel could have said, I don't care about that faith. But there was something that attracted Daniel back to the faith of his parents. That even though he was a young boy in the courts of the king, and his parents were no longer there, he said, oh, I should be like them. I want to have the faith that mom had. I want to be like mom and dad. And so he made choices. Making our faith attractive to our children. What do you think about making something that's attractive? Well, you're drawn to it. So something's attractive, it gets your attention. Think maybe like a bee that's attracted to flowers. So if you find some flowers, there's a good possibility you can wait long enough to see the bees, the lines, flying around because they are attracted. You're just naturally attracted to them. You don't expect to find bees flying in the town. If they don't like flowers, they're not going to be there. So rather than attracted to things that get our attention, the opposite of attract is something that disgusts us. That's repulsive. And I just love that illustration of Daniel and his three friends. There was more families that were raising their little boys to love the Lord. And that faith was so attractive to them that they just continued to be attractive. How can we make that attractive to our families? There's a lot of children here tonight. There's a lot of youth here tonight. I've enjoyed being here. I just wanted to say thank you to Brother Andy for the invite to come here to Pine Creek. We tried several times to him. I know what it's like to have visiting preachers come to our church, so I wanted to do what I was. I said yes on that. It is so blessing to come here and find faith, faithful parents, faithful youth. That blesses my mind. Because this faith is going to go on to the next generation. The older people are getting older, and we're going to not always see them. But the church of tomorrow is the youth. The young men, the young marrieds, they are stepping in. And so making our faith attractive for our children is very important. That we want to bring our children with us and allow our children to make choices. And we'll look at that as we go along. A lot of children, and my home congregation, we have a lot of children. And we have a children's class. We'll bring them up front here and we'll have three full benches. Just children. And it's just humbling to look up there and to see all the children and to think about the potential. To think about the responsibility that God has laid on fathers, our lives, our children. Turn with me to Psalm 70. God likes me to water. He's springboard from just some thought. It's probably about children. Psalm 78 is just a psalm that's talking about all the things, good things that God has done. It's a psalm that's praising the Lord. And he's talking about telling our children. I'd like to read the first eight verses. Psalm 78. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. I will open my mouth and in parable I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. Shine to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart right, whose spirit was not steadfast in God. And we know the history of children of Israel. They were not thankful for what God had done. But there was a generation that the Psalms were saying that we would teach. And I think it is so prevalent for us today. There's a rising generation, and we want to show them that they might set their hope with God and not forget God's name. So tonight I just want to challenge us as parents, what are we doing to show the next generation the glories of God? How are you making that practical in your homes? How are you making that practical in this community? That the generation even as I read that psalm, I was just amazed to think about the unborn. 5 years from now, there's more children. God blesses and God tarries. There's generation that keeps coming into these doors. What is the plan for this congregation? To show them God. Can you make a difference? Is this the community is talking about? I mean, can grandparents make a difference? We want to look at that. That's our goal tonight. To influence the littles so that they can set their hope in God, or so it says. Let's think about our faith. We're talking about making our faith. And I just want to emphasize our faith. I work for a lot of clients, and they'll say, yeah, my grandpa loved the Lord. My grandma wore that little white thing on her head. Well, so what? What about you? Where's your faith tonight? Do you have a faith in your heart that you can show your next generation? We're not talking about grandpa's faith. Yes, it's extremely helpful, but it's not making my faith, your faith, making our faith in this congregation, making our faith attractive to this next generation, to our children. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's kind of hard to talk about it. How do you describe the faith that you have in Jesus Christ? You know, to an unbeliever, it seems a little bit foreign. Think about Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had extreme faith in God. And it worked out in their life. People could see it. But try to explain that. Imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had some friends, probably, that were with them. And here stood Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They would not back. And they stood tall. Do you think they had some friends that were like, hey, get down. You're making a fool out of yourself. You're going to make the king mad. Hurry up. Get down before anybody notices. Didn't make sense. This faith in God. And he just said, we can't do it. We love the Lord. We're not going to compromise. And there they stood. Didn't make sense. But it's faith. Faith that moved them to action. It made a huge impact on the people that was around them. People saw them. As we read in that devotional, people saw that. And it amplified the glory. It pointed people to God. What an influence it had on people's lives. Remember me, it's a song of 46. Just come back a few pages. Very familiar song. 46 is a song. It says, God is our refuge and strength. And this isn't talking about hope, but I want to draw a point from the background of this song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Can we take a song like this and make it very practical to our children? As parents, can we take our children and show them and say, God is our refuge, God is our strength. And it doesn't matter what's happening in the community. It doesn't matter what's happening in the world around us. When we hear about the word war, that's scary. So what's happening? I remember as a child growing up, and I hear airplanes flying over. I just thought, sure, they're coming. I don't know why. There's three airplanes. They're coming. I don't. The fears of a child are so real. But as parents, we say, we have trust in God. We don't have to fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though bad things happen to his people, we have confidence in God tonight. And do you have confidence in God? Do you have a faith in God tonight that you can show your children? Verse 7 says, God is in us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Can we show our children our personal trust in God? Be still and know that I am God. Life has a way. I don't know if you're going through it. But can we just stop tonight and think about God? Because as you as parents stop and think about God, it makes a huge impact on our children. They're watching Dad. They're watching Dad get down on his knees and say, God, we need you. Lord, we trust you. Lord, this situation's out of our control. But Lord, we know that you have it all in control, and we trust you. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 20. This is the background of what was happening in this song. This song is just so inspirational, but really, what was happening? What was behind it? It was being some traumatic events that was happening to the children of Israel. There was war. There was an enemy that was coming. This enemy was going to kill them. Can you imagine as parents and you have your little flock of children around you? And out there in the valley is the enemy. And they are coming to kill. They are coming to destroy. And the fear that descended upon the people. And we got Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, verse 3. And he proclaimed it fast, and all Judah gathered themselves together to seek the face of the Lord. And they prayed, and they said, Lord, you have promised. Lord, we know that if we trust you, you're going to protect us. But it sure looks hopeless. We're scared. Verse 12, we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know what we do. But our eyes are upon you. Verse 13, and all Judah stood there before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. The dad was holding his son. The mom had the little one in her hands. And they were standing there and they were praying at the congregation. The congregation gathered together and said, Lord, our eyes are upon you. What a demonstration of faith. Can you imagine the little ones? Scared. But dad's not scared. He's praying. He's trusting God. I guess we can too. Do you think there was a little five-year-old that forgot this event? I think this was a traumatic event that 25 years old they were talking about. Remember back when? Remember back when our congregation got together? We fasted. We prayed. We sought the Lord. You know what happened? There were some three prophets, And they said, don't be afraid. The battle is not yours, but God's. And isn't it though? We tend to think the battle's ours. We've got problems. We've got to figure this thing out. But these people were showing the next generation, their children, that God had the answer. It's not your battle. It's God's battle. Allow God to fight your battle. And take your little ones with you. And bring them before the Lord. It don't matter how little they are. Because as they see mom and dad seeking the Lord's face, it makes a tremendous difference in the family. Families feel and see the salvation of the Lord. And they cheered up. They got so excited about what God was going to do, they began to sing praises. They didn't even fight the battle yet. The enemy was still out there. The enemy was still coming. And they began to sing and praise the Lord. You know what happened? God just worked a tremendous miracle. The battle's already won. They didn't even have to fight. But they began to sing and to praise the Lord. Verse 22, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, and he just took care of them. But what I want out of this story is the little children that came along with mom and dad, and they watched God work, making our faith attractive to our children. Do you think any one of those children, what about the youth? Do you think any of the youth ever forgot that? It was a tremendous faith builder in God, of what God could do. We can do that with our own children today. Then the tension of what? Make it grow, stand still, and look to God. Our children are noticing that. Let us go over some practical things. How do we make our faith attractive to our children? How can we as parents show God to our families in the complexity of life, in the struggles of life? We're going to have one chance as parents to raise our children. But yet God is there for us. And so we seek his face, but how do we make our faith attractive to our children? Number one is it must be real to us as people. Some of these points are so simple. But I think tonight this sermon is to parents. Because I have to have it, my faith has to be real in my own life. I have to be like the children of Israel. When there's problems, we take it to the Lord and we stand there and say, Lord, I've got a problem. Sure, Lord, anything won't happen, just problems. But we have to have that relationship. We have to have a real experience. It needs to come from within. It has to be something that I believe. If I don't believe in it, you can't sell it. Someone said that this morning. You have to believe in your product. You have to have something to pass on if you're going to make our faith attractive for our children. I have to have the faith myself. We live in a world that don't have anything. We have to have faith in God, and we have to allow it to be fun for it. You can't make it attractive. You don't like it yourself. It's hard to get children to be happy, but dad don't like it. I don't know what food you don't like, but if you don't like it, I can guarantee you, your children don't. You can set that wide. You can make the most beautiful food. And I've seen children, I don't like that. It's a mindset often. My dad loved olives, and my mom hates olives. Now, they don't care. I mean, I don't care to like olives or love olives. But dad taught me to love olives. From a little child, he got to feed me olives. Guess what? I grew up liking olives. Dad and I would eat olives. Mom's like, they can have olives. This day, I still like olives. And guess what? I taught my children to like olives. The little child, you see them some olives. Ooh, we spit it out. We'll give them another one. And eventually, they get a taste for olives. But I liked it. I was attracted to olives. I like that sweet and sour taste. But the only reason they like olives is because dad. Our faith is the same way. If you love it, it's going to be so much easier to pass that love on to your children. They're going to be attracted to it. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6. You're on the sixth floor, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart." Thine heart. And it goes on to talk about how to teach it to your children, but you can't teach something unless you have it in your heart first. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, not just a little bit. Not like, it's all right. I'm half good with it. All thine heart. Your entire energy gets put into loving the Lord. And these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart. You have to spend time with it. It's going to be in a heart too. More is thought than thought. And he goes on to talk about how to teach. Verse 7 says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thy house." But first of all, it has to be in my heart. It has to be in mom's heart. It has to be dad's, if we're going to be able to pass it on to our children, to make our faith attractive for our children. We can teach our children, read the Bible stories, we can sing to them. Hey, you know, the little children, we can do all these things on Sunday. You can take them to church. But if Monday morning, you got to do that, that's his life. And it's not real to them. His children are not attracted to each other. It actually becomes very disgusting to children to see dad be a hypocrite in the church. Our children don't care much about our fancy Sunday school answers. What they want to see is mom and dad have a real faith in God. That in the trying times of life, that they go to God and it's real. Malachi 4:6 talks about, "He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers." Very popular verse that people use. But as little boys grow up and little girls grow up, they love their parents. They want to do what mom and dad do. If dad likes Chevy, the boys love Chevy. If it's a Ford, they love Ford. Isn't that amazing? It's just natural what dad likes, the little children love. And so the likes dad has was easy to pass on to the children as long as children want. Our children need to see us make our Christianity through art, make our art in my life. Not just Sunday morning, but all week long. Monday when we go out and we start working with the customer, or you begin working with your coworker, there needs to be a faith that separates us. It's a practical thing. Number two, how can we make our faith attractive to our children? The first one was, it needs to be in my heart. The second one, it needs to be in our home. Probably very, very close. But it needs to begin at home. You can't expect this church to make faith attractive. They're here to help. But parents, it's our responsibility to train up our children at home. And Deuteronomy 6 says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land which he sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And it goes on and says, "Beware of the wicked." When life starts to get really good, we tend to forget about it. If we're going to make faith attractive, it needs to begin. It needs to begin when there's little children or small in our hands. And we sing to them. We pray with our children. We read them Bible stories. We make it a priority. We show them that God is important to us. We teach them about faith. We teach them that God has the answer. And when life goes wrong, when they're in a hospital experience, we get down on our knees and we pray. We say, "Lord, we need you." It's the first place we turn to. Just think of this weekend. There was a little boy from our home congregation that ended up in Hershey Medical Center. He had a medical issue. And you know, as parents, what can you do? Your child is sick. Your child needs help. Yeah, and seek the Lord's face, and we get them the help they need. But we realize that God is the ultimate healer. We take
Proposed.
And I'm thinking about just like the children of Israel did. Be still and know thou. We take our deliverance with us and we pray and we say, here it is. Our eyes are upon you. We don't have the answers, but if we trust you, and we thank God for answering prayer. Thinking about our faith beginning and all. We are an example of faith. We live it out. Our faith is important to us, so we make practical applications to our faith. And one of them is being here at church. God bless you for being here. You know, it would have been so much easier to stay at home, take a bed nap, and like, God, too late. And, well, we can't go to church now. And really, it's an excuse that why you couldn't get here tonight. I'm sure they're good ones. But our children see that, and they say, church is important, Mom and Dad. They make it a priority. They get up on time. They will get up and get around, and so we can be at church on time. It's just a practical application that you're teaching your children something by being here. Is prayer meeting an option? Is it, you know, when Snake rolls around, the little children look at Mom and Dad and say, are we going to church tonight? I don't feel like it. Or is it the thing where there's church tonight, okay? We set the tone, parents. And we show our children how much our faith is important to us by those little decisions. Yes, we're going to go to church. Yes, we want to be with the body of believers. It's important. We want to worship God. More is talk than talk. It's not what we say, but it's what we do. Our children are watching this, and they pick up on those little things. How important is Sunday school? How important is doing the Sunday school questions? I don't know if I should look at dads or moms for this. Both, right? I think we need to help our children do their Sunday school lessons. Show them that it's a priority. Saturday night, we sit down and get our lessons out, and it's time to read the Sunday school lesson. Sunday school lesson isn't something that you just come to church, you open it up, and go to lunch. No. You've read the lesson. You studied it. You're ready to participate. You teach your little ones. But Sunday school is important. You help them do their Wednesday groups. Yes, it's a little cool, but it is so important. As a family, we've seen together. We pray together. We worship God together. It comes a way of life. At home, Mom and Dad are content with their life. It's just little things, but it shows children trust and faith in God. Mom and Dad are simply content with whatever God has brought into their life. It's so easy to be discontent. It's so easy to think about everything I don't know, everything that the what if. Again, there's more plot than fun. And children pick up their quicken if Mom and Dad are content. The godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be there. We're still thinking about teaching faith at home. Just being a practical example, living it out, making it practical in your life. We need to prepare our children to face this dark world. We have these little ones, and then they grow up, and they become 10, 12, and 15, and they hit 16, and they get their driver's license, and they begin to drive. And it's a scary world to send a new guy to watch your 16-year-old get behind the wheel, and there you go. And all you can do is say, it's no worry about it. Watch it with them. As parents, we need to think about that. We need to prepare our children to face a sinful world. There are places we don't go. There are places we stay away from. Just because you're 16 and have driver's license don't mean you can go anywhere you want to go. We prepare our children to face this dark world. We talk about the dangers. We talk about the dangers that our youth can get involved in. I think about the high priestly prayer, Jesus prayed. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from them. So much. We have to be so wise. Careful, We need to help our children face the complexities of life. You know, there's questions that arise. You get a teenager, and there's all kinds of good questions that can happen. You know, well, they do it over there, right? There's every church group. I don't know about this area, but at home, there's 10 different churches that lead, a little bit different shades of different, all within 10 miles. How can you help your youth understand that, well, their friends go to this church and they do something different over here. These people over here that do something different. As parents, as dads, we need to help our youth understand practical application. It's just part of growing up. It's part of teaching them our faith. Every church has a practical application. And because another group does it different, that's okay. That doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it wrong. I'm not talking about sin. We're just talking about different church groups and the way they relate to life. Help our children understand that and work through that. Keep the world and its influences out of the home. Keep the world and its influences out of the home. Our homes are to be a safe haven. Our home is a place where our children can grow up and it's protected. Our homes are protecting the guard. You know what a guard is? A guard is somebody that protects. I went to a place at my home several years ago. And they wanted some earthwork done. I knocked on the door and I said who I was. And this fellow really prepared me. And he said, do you have a card? Or do you have, basically, he wanted me to prove that I was burning from shank doors. And I said, well, no. I mean, I have cards out in the van. You can see my van. I mean, if you look at their van. And he looked. Just, okay, look legit. And then he opened up the door and I realized that the client was standing inside. That fellow was a guardian of the home. She had hired him to work for her. He was to keep any intruder out of the home. Any person that was not real. Parents are bad for our children. We guard our homes. We think about the influence that's coming into our homes and we crack the door. We just don't open the door and say, come in. I'm thinking about sin. And I'm thinking about sinful influences that can come into our life. I'm thinking about moral purity of our children growing up. We are wise. We teach our children to be pure, to think pure. We're careful to what our children are exposed to. Take a look at the life of Moses. Moses was another interesting person. You know Moses growing up and his parents put him in the little ark in the bulrushes. That's about all we know about him. We don't know what kind of a teaching career they had, but at some point in Moses' life, it says that he chose to identify with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin close season. He had everything at his disposal. He could have had it all. He could have had fun. And he said, I don't want the fun that this world has. He chose to let it go. And instead, he suffered with the people of God. He must have had some strong family behind him that taught him to stand for truth. The faith of his parents. And Moses began a life study. You need to be a guardian of the home. You need to guard what our children do. And now we're revealing electronic devices. Why do we need to deal with it? We're still talking about it. We need to be thinking about what coming into our homes through our electronic means. Guard our moral authority. Guard any type of corruption. We're not going to just put your children out into the world today. There comes a time when our children leave home. They have to make decisions for themselves. But as parents, we care about our children. Guard. How do we make our faith attractive to our children? Number three, we need to teach our children to obey and to submit to the authority that's in God. Life is full of authority. We don't like that. We don't like people telling us what to do. And we live in a world that says, you ain't telling me what to do. I'll live my own life. Who do you preachers think you are, anyhow? What right does a church have to tell the people how to live? And you can really make it look foolish. But as parents, we teach our children from little up to respect authority. We teach them to obey authority. We teach them to obey our authority. We teach them what yes means and no means. Our children are born with a sinful nature. And so it's our job to shape that and to help our children make them righteous. But if we're going to make our faith attractive to them, we need to teach them to learn how to respect the world. Is it okay to allow our children to talk back to mom? Mom says no. And our children begin to talk back to the heart of you, the heart of their own. The Bible moms of them are going to go. Fathers, if that's happening, it's our responsibility to step in and do something about it. We don't allow our children to argue with us, talk about it. Our children should be respectful. It takes work. It takes time. I think it takes an entire lifetime to train our children. It don't happen at night. But really, what do our children see in dad? I see respects authority. Are you respecting authority? See, it's so easy. I demand my children, you respect me. Can't do what I say. What else? And then I go out and I defy authority. I live like I don't know it. All I'm doing is telling my children it's okay to defy authority. So we need to be an example of respecting authority. Respecting authority of the state officials. Is it okay to go speeding down the highway because, well, I'm late for church? What are you showing your little ones in your car? Because I got up too late, I'm rushing around, and I have to make time on the road. What about respecting school and principals when they're dealing with my child? And you know, as parents, we just stick up for our children. We love our children. Our children can do no wrong. And when the teacher says, we had to take some discipline today, what kind of response comes from my heart? Especially if I know this agreed. Now, there's times when we need to talk to authorities. There's a correct way. But how does our children view that? Do they see dad just flying off the handle and saying whatever he thinks from that stupid school teacher? They don't know. No. They see dad that has a faith in God. And when times get tough, they go, well, son, let's sit down and talk. And we talk about what happened. We talk about right and wrong choices. And maybe there's a time when dad needs to go talk to a school teacher, but the son doesn't know that. What happens when your local pastor comes knocking on the door and says, we've got a problem. Can we talk about it? All those pastors, you just cringe. I don't like that job. I don't like telling people that they're out of church standards and things need to change and this is unacceptable. People respond to different ways. And as parents, I mean, we respect authorities of church in the world. Maybe the bishop has to make a phone call and say, no, we're going to make some changes. Then we respond in a regular way. More is caught than is caught. The society all around us, they don't care about this. It's the exact opposite. It's, you're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to live my life. I'll do what I please. You just go. No. We don't turn it away. Because we have faith in God. And you have scriptures that tell us how to live. And our children see them. Give them down the wall. Submitting to their father's law. Making our faith attractive to our children. Number four is we need each other. We need each other. I need your help in raising my children. Yes, as parents, it's our job to raise my children. But at times, I need the congregation around me to rally around me and say, yes, you're doing a good job. We're done running. You've got some hot spots. You need to make some changes. But we need the help of our brothers and our sisters. We need each other. We don't raise children by ourselves. The old saying says it takes a community to raise a child. I don't think you've heard that. I say it takes a church family to raise a child. It takes this congregation to allow to bring our families to good employment. We're not in this world. As parents, we need to talk about raising our children and our goals. I think as parents, we need, it's just not dad's job, and it's just not mom's job. It's together. And we sit and we talk, and we talk about ways that we need to improve. Now, reflecting about how much time we spend in our courtship years, life evolved around seeing each other. Life just, you couldn't wait to get together for that next day. And now, our lively day. How much time are we spending together? How much time are we spending talking about goals for our family? How are we going to pass on our faith? Are we doing that? Do I have areas that I need to improve in my life? Is there areas that we need to do something different with? I see too many parents helping this. We just simply bark orders. We know how to give the leadership. We know how to give answers. And the families struggle. Bring this together. I don't know where to bring this point, but I think as families, you need to spend time together. We need to have as much time as families together as we can. We don't just go out here and just each go into the clear. We're talking about sharing our faith. And I think as parents, we love our families. And we take time to and to eat meals together. Or am I so busy that I got 15 minutes and I got to run? My children got to run. My wife has activities and she's got to run. So we just, like a smorgasbord, grab what you want and get out. Occasionally that happens. But I think we need to have times that we sit down together as family. We build relationships. You know, we need each other. And you know, if you think about your life, now I'm just thinking about not so much you personally, how influenced you are by your peers. Think about people in your life that have influenced you to make choices, hopefully for the right. And you are doing that every Sunday. You come together and you are influencing your peers. You're not influencing each other. We kind of think that everybody might influence me or people don't need, I don't need my church family. But yet our church family is here for my support. And I was just reminiscing about growing up in our young years, in our young married years, how different friends pushed me different directions. I had a group of friends that encouraged me to be irritated with the church and its standings. And I'm sad to say that I would irritate the church. And it was a chore to go to church. And I did not like the church leaders. And eventually that friend moved on. And I was still at church, struggling, trying to find them. And I found a new friend that came alongside. And this friend just loved the Lord. And his enthusiasm for loving the Lord changed my life. Because that person became a real friend to me and encouraged me to make choices. And you can do that. You don't even realize how much your love for the Lord is influencing the people of this congregation. We need each other. I need your influence in my family's life. Your influence would be good to help my children make good choices. There are so many hurting people out there. When you talk to them, they say, you know, I have no friends. Nobody cares what I do. Who cares? Well, I hope that everyone here this evening says, my church family cares. People around me care. Grandpa and grandma love me. They care. My parents care. I trust that they say it. Making our faith attractive to our children, number five. We need to teach that life is more about other people than it is to himself. Can we teach our families the life of service? We live in a world where it's all about just doing what I want. I have my hobbies. I have my time. I have what's my satisfaction. It's my feelings. It's my status. It's my business. Acts 20, verse 35 says, it's no less than forgiving and to receive. And can parents, can teach our children by example that we have time for other people? That life is a life of service. That we take time to help the needy around us. We need to show by example to our children that we are here to serve. If I want to make my faith attractive, we need to teach a lifestyle of giving, of service. That's what Jesus did. He went around meeting the needs of the people. He would see a needy person, he just stopped what he was doing, and he would talk to them, and he would meet their needs. Others first. Myself last. It takes their. It might mean that the hobbies that I really love doesn't happen. Because I need to help someone on Saturday. There's a brother that needs my time and my attention. And as my children grow up, seeing mom and dad serving in the community, serving the needs around them, it teaches them something. It's teaching them that life is all about others. It's not about being a salt and light. Number six. Thinking about making our faith attractive. I simply put down there's no 1-3-3-step program. You know, I just wish I could just lay it out and just say, if you do this, and if you do this, and if you do this, everything's going to work. Our children are also different. And God has made our personalities also different. God is a God of variety. You just look at nature. I mean, he didn't make just one bug. He made thousands of bugs. And he just made variety in everything. Our children come to us different. But yet, as they see your faith, and as they watch your example, and as they watch your love for God, it does something to them. Some children will grasp it more quickly than others. Some children will say, I want to serve the Lord too. Then there's other ones maybe that wait longer. But yet they're still observing your life. Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he shall go. And when he's old, he will never be back. I love that verse. Because it's a powerful verse. As parents, we can train and we can show by example. And I, as you meet people, I hear them say, well, Dad did it like that. Mom, we did it like that at home. You can think of all kinds of things, how you were raised. It's the right way. There's only one way to do it. Because mom and dad did it. Powerful influence that you have in your home. But as we show our children by him, as parents, we don't have all the answers. But we strive to give our children godly answers. We take them to God's word. And we try to meet the needs of each one of our children. They're all one. But we point them to Christ. We show them by example. And number seven, we need to remind them constantly of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We need to take them back and talk about what God has done. Show them the love that God has for them. God loves you as an individual. God cares about you. And as we relate, I'm thinking about our older children, that we show them God. In all areas of life, we talk about God. We talk about how meaningful God is. What can I do for God? I don't think we can never overstate the love of God for me. He understands our struggles. And as you go through times of trying to figure out who you are, well, God loves you and God cares about your struggles. And God knows what you're going through. As parents, we need to help them understand that. God understands. God loves you. And God will be there for you. wants to fill our hearts with love. This evening, we could have talked about all kinds of little ways to teach our children about God. But I think the long story is our children are watching us as parents. They see how much mom and dad love them. They see how that faith in God affects their life. Can we be like the children of old, the children of Israel of old, that we take our family before the Lord and we say, our eyes will be. What is happening in your life? Can you take your family and rally around and say, Lord, we trust you. We give our lives to you. We don't have to do this ourselves. We have each other to help. We have God's help. We need to pray as parents every day to ask for his wisdom how to relate to our children. Making our faith attractive to our children. A lifelong dream. Our faith. Do we have that in our hearts? And is it something that is so important to you that when your child becomes of age, they say, yes, Lord, I want to serve you like dad does. I want to serve you like mom does. And will that faith see them through the rest of them? That's what I want us as parents. I know the children have their own choices to make, but we can influence them. We can attract them to making the right choice. But we're preparing them for him.